Welcome back. It's been very, very, very lively and lovely to stay under the Saka anointing. Our pastor said some things that shook us, so that necessitated a short break so that we can get our balance and not fall under the anointing in this studio. Okay, sir, we are talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb.
That's right.
And Gabriel asked that question. I was not satisfied with the way you answered him, so I laid a little emphasis on it again, and you seem to be saying something that I've not heard before. Revelations 19. But if we should also go to Matthew 26. Let me read from verse 26. Matthew chapter 26 from verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Verse 29 is my emphasis. "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
Yes.
So the question still comes. You know, I'm bringing this in contrast with Revelation 19.
Yes.
Verse 7 to 9, which you've been talking of earlier on. You said Revelation 19, 7 to 9 is not a prophecy, it's not a future event, rather. It's not a future event, it's what has been taking place since the coming of the Lord Jesus, the supper time. So, but this Matthew 26, the same Lord Jesus speaks of I will drink it with you in my Father's kingdom.
Now, you drink, Revelation 19 is the state of preparedness. Okay. For verse 29 of
Matthew 26. Okay.
Do you understand my grammar? I repeat.
The state of preparedness
that qualifies you to be among those found in Matthew 26 and verse 29.
Mm.
Here, he's talking of a day
that
he will drink it new with his disciples.
Amen.
In my Father's kingdom. And you are only qualified to be part of that ceremony that you will drink together with Jesus in that day when you are dressed and made ready, according to Revelation chapter 19.
Okay.
Where the calling is coming, and then you are being dressed
so
that you are qualified to be part of that ceremony that we see in verse 29.
So,
and that ceremony takes place that day of that rapture.
Okay.
When you go,
the period will be with the Lord in the Father, in heaven, in the Father's kingdom. Mm.
Like we all know in Israel, you know, remember that we are coming, we are not going to live in heaven with Christ.
Okay.
We are coming to live. This is where his kingdom is. This is where his home will be.
That's right.
And we know that even in Israel, the Eastern culture, that the marriage ceremony is normally done in the father's compound.
Mm. That's right.
Before he takes his wife and comes to the earth here and then live forever as a queen and a king ruling the earth here. Yes.
Mm. Okay, so but we can also... So we can refer to the two as the marriage supper of the Lamb?
Well, I said it's part of the marriage supper because it is the activities,
consummation.
The consummation of the activities that finally takes you to be complete wife and live with him, the queen.
Okay, but the marriage supper began with the Lord Jesus.
The supper, which is the evening meal, begins with the death on the cross on Calvary, and all that happens. The end time began then.
Okay.
When the lamb, Passover lamb, is killed. From that day, they ate that lamb, the movement began until they reached the promised land.
That's true.
Okay, so
It is also, you know, the day didn't start from the end of God's program for the restoration of mankind that started from the Garden of Eden, you know, ends with Christ, the Passover. You know, you eating it, applying the blood, and then you come under a cover and you move to your promised land. But remember that so many people after the killing, many didn't reach the promised land. Mm. That is what happens in Christian faith. Mm. It's not everyone that says, you know, remember they were a mixed multitude.
Exactly.
And we have to put all this into account when we're putting the pictures together.
Okay. Okay, sir. So that someone might not be confused.
Yes.
We know that the rapture takes place and then there's a celebration and events going on in heaven, you know, that the Lord Jesus and his wife, the consummation of the marriage,
yes,
following what you've taught us. So I just wanted to talk about that, just, you know, to balance these two scriptures.
I want you to note, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
Okay.
Amen. 1 Thessalonians.
Okay.
If you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4,
yes, sir.
This is how the coming of the Lord, the last events that take place, where he says, verse 15, from verse 15 to verse 18.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God.
Now you notice that the coming of the Lord, they are in phases.
Amen.
So we are seeing the shout. The shout there is a message.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And that shout, we have been able to prove. We said it several times
through
this ministry, through this platform, through various sermons we have preached, that this shout was to the virgins, sleeping virgins.
Hallelujah.
And that took place through the Reformation.
That's right.
Martin Luther,
restoration.
John Wesley, William Seymour. That is the shout. Calling out the people and then trimming their lambs. Behold, the bridegroom cometh.
Go ye out to meet him.
You know, okay. So you can see how many years this has taken place. It is still part of the evening light.
Amen.
Gospel. Yes. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. See the process. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them.
We are in the clouds.
In the clouds to meet the Lord. We are
in the air.
And so shall we be with the Lord. Now, so we go to be with him.
Amen.
But we are still with him now, spiritually speaking.
That's right.
You know, but when we get there, it will now be physical.
Amen.
Ooh. Okay. Amen. It will now be physical. And that is the day that we will now see him as he is.
Amen.
The Bible says so.
Amen.
Then we will sit down and Matthew 26:29 will be fulfilled.
Okay.
So it is still part of the evening.
The marriage supper.
The marriage supper.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Hallelujah.
But I want you to know, because there are pictures that are displayed. You know.
Yes. Yeah, we have pictures of people feeding Mary's Supper of the Lamb. There are some pictures that are very popular when you talk about them. So let's just look at the screen now and see these beautiful pictures depicting the Mary's Supper of the Lamb. Okay? That's one on the screen. That's a dining table.
Yes.
We have another one. Okay. Very beautiful dining table.
Wow. Yes. That'll be very wonderful, wonderful.
Take your position with
that. But you know, while that is just a pictorial of what the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, but you get the picture clearer of what kind of, you know, ceremony. It will not just be one table like that.
Okay.
It cannot be one table like that. I believe that there will be a high table.
Okay.
I believe there will be a high table.
Amen.
Because the foundation builders of this ministry,
the apostles,
they are called the elders.
Amen.
Okay, in Revelation chapter 4.
That's right.
And so, and there are 24 of them. So they will not just be sitting anywhere. And then take note that in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9,
Revelation
from
7,
verse 9.
From verse 9.
Yes.
After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands.
Okay, go to verse 13.
And one of the elders answered, saying unto me,
yes,
what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. Uh-huh. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
These are called overcomers.
Amen and amen.
And in every age, amen, we have overcomers.
Hallelujah. Right,
and these overcomers, I want you to note, how many are they? Verse 9 again.
Verse 9, okay. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude.
A great multitude.
Which no man could number.
Uh-huh.
Of all nations.
So you know that that table set in those pictures does not give you a proper picture of that kind of summer. It's a ceremony.
But it leaves a question, sir.
Yes.
What are we going to eat?
Are we going to eat?
At the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Well, the emphasis is not what we eat.
Okay.
The emphasis is that we're going to eat with him.
Wow. Okay.
Do you understand?
So it doesn't even
it is not what we eat.
You already said we're going to drink wine with him. So yes. We want to know.
So whatever it is that we are going to eat with him. There's the emphasis there until we eat with him is actually until we will celebrate.
Okay, but there's a scripture that says something, Luke 14:15.
Yes.
And when one of them that sat at meat with him ate these things,
yes,
he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread,
yes,
in the kingdom of God.
Yes. Now, when he said, blessed is he that shall eat bread, he's not talking of the kind of bread you manufacture in your place. It's food.
Okay.
Food generally is referred to as bread.
Okay.
You know, you will eat. That is, it's not about the type of food. Brother, we're not suffering all this for some biscuits, special biscuits to eat in heaven.
Oh my
God. You know, it is celebration.
That's right.
But I also want you to note that, remember that our bodies will be changed.
Amen.
Amen.
We will now have angelic bodies.
Amen and amen.
So if we're going to celebrate with the type of food we shall eat, you know, certainly we'll be eating angelic food. But I also want you to note something about the mystery of this God. I want you to note that after Jesus Christ resurrected, he did not resurrect with this human body. He resurrected with a body that he could appear and disappear.
A glorified body.
And then he was taken up and go. So he was also with angelic bodies. But I want you to take note that he still could eat fish.
That's right. It's a magnified one.
So he still could eat fish. He could still eat the bread that others were eating.
That's right.
At the same time,
he passed through the world.
And passed through the world. So our makeup will be such that we'll be able to live freely with those who shall be ruling on earth.
Wow.
But have a superior kind of body that enables us to switch on and off. That is the glorious body.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And I'll do everything to have it.
I will too.
The
I will
too. Eternal body because, you know,
that's a beautiful picture.
God will come down in an angelic form and eat meat offered to him by Abraham.
That's true.
You see, sacrifices that, meat that is killed to offer him as a meal, he will eat it. And yet, he will go up to what he was. So, there must be something, you know, around him. And why I believe this is that in the Garden of Eden, although they were made of dust. Mud, dust, Adam and Eve. But you know, standing by there was a tree of life.
Hallelujah. The very source of life.
So it means they were supposed to have been given an ability where you will be both eternal. It means there's something about you that cannot grow old. There must be something that you will take. A makeup of you that will enable you to live eternal and yet eat the fruits. I believe that is the kind of body we are going to have.
Wow. Amen.
So what are we going to eat? We will eat anything available.
Amen.
Anything.
So I love how you put it. The emphasis is not what we eat.
It's not what we eat.
It is him.
It is that we shall eat with him.
Wow.
How wonderful will it be?
Amen.
That you see him for who he is.
Hallelujah.
Face to face.
Amen.
Eye to eye.
Amen.
Oh God, Jesus, now you
my
be
God.
This. And only vision I see you.
Pastor, you are making a very strong invitation, but tell us, please, what qualifies one to be at this marriage supper? Because the invitation you are making now is drawing people.
Properly put on the righteousness of God.
The righteousness
Christ
of the saints.
In you, the hope of glory. Mm. Be part of that covenant God has had with man, sealed with the blood of his only begotten Son. Receive. He is the source of eternal life. And he giveth us eternal life. He's offering it to man. Reach out and get it. And you'll be part of that glorious ceremony that is awaiting the overcomers. Yes. Mm. And nobody can go there until you overcome. There are battles to fight before you get there.
Okay. Mm. Wow. Thank you very much, sir. You've already quoted Matthew 22 and the invitation. And now someone rejected it. Okay, so let's go further. Because I was going to ask how it applies to us, but you've made mention of it earlier. The Issachar anointing. No, that is what is falling now. The Issachar anointing. The anointing to know the times and the seasons, to know what Israel, to know what the bride of Christ ought to do. Okay, so sir, will the Issachar anointing cause us to know the exact time of the rapture?
We will not know the exact time of the rapture, but we will know the season. But this is my understanding. I know you want to use this opportunity to bring out what I've been avoiding. Why? Because man is quick. People make a lot of these mistakes just because God gives you certain revelations that maybe other people don't have. You see yourself as an authority, and you begin to exercise, you know, this, go beyond your mandate. You know, we only have types. And this is number one. The number one type is that if we liken spiritual marriage to the physical marriage, if we understand spiritual marriage by the physical marriage, then every bride knows the wedding. The first is the first to know the wedding date because they agree together with the bridegroom. That the day of wedding does not take him by surprise. But it could take other maids around by surprise, take everybody by surprise, but especially if it is a secret affair you were having and didn't show people. But the bride will know.
Amen.
Secondly, and this is where I'm very careful to say what I want to say. You will notice that in Luke chapter 1, Now, it's my understanding. I am not teaching us as a doctrine, please. And you are free to reject it. And accepting it or rejecting it does not change God's plan. Because we must bear in mind that Christ himself said the day or the hour, no man knows except the Father. Okay. So, by that, he has closed anybody making any permutations and giving date and time. Now, I want you to note something here. Acts chapter 1.
Verse 3.
Yes. Now, okay. I want you to note something here. Note it here. Yes.
Okay.
Read it now.
Okay, Acts 1 verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God.
He did what?
Showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the
things. How many days after he resurrected was he seen?
40 days.
Now, Matthew chapter 27.
Okay. Matthew 27, yes, sir?
Yes. From verse 51, yes.
Okay. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom.
Yes.
And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose.
The graves were
opened.
Opened.
And many bodies of the saints which slept arose.
All
and
the saints, these saints here are right from Abel.
Wow.
Okay. To the last thief
at the cross.
At the cross. Mm. Because he said, today, you be with me, in my father's kingdom, in paradise. Yes.
And came out of the graves.
They came out of the graves.
After his resurrection.
After his resurrection, that was when they came out.
And went into the holy city and appeared unto many.
So during those 40 days that Jesus was showing himself
alive,
those saints, he said they showed themselves. It's not by dream or vision.
Amen.
They saw him.
Mm.
And then, yes. And then after that, what happens? He was taken up.
Amen.
And I believe that it's not just him, because if they resurrected together, they will ascend also together. Now, I believe that when you come to Revelation chapter 10,
Okay, Revelation 10.
And that is where I am going to tread very, very carefully.
From verse what, sir?
Revelation chapter 10, from verse 1.
Okay. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand the little book.
That open. Description gives you that who is that person?
The Lord Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ. Uh-huh.
And he had in his hand the little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth.
Uh-huh.
And cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. Uh-huh. And when he had cried.
Now, do you remember that Apostle Paul said he will descend with what?
A shout.
With a shout. Go ahead.
And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices.
Yes.
And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write.
Yes.
And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not.
Uh-huh.
And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted
Go on.
And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer.
That closes the activities.
Okay.
Now, I want to believe. Hmm. I want to believe.
Amen.
The Bible says when Christ died, listen very well. Sydney, just all of you in the studio here and the whole world listening to me now. Please, it's not a doctrine. I'm only trying to place things. That's my own understanding.
Amen.
And I want to say, add, whether I am right or wrong does not change God's
plan.
God's plan, no program.
Amen.
But sometimes knowing these things keep us more focused. So that, and be in expectation, we become expectant.
Amen.
And that is what the Bible expects us to do. We should be expectant.
Amen.
Be in expectation.
Okay.
Now, I believe that the Bible tells us that when Christ died, where did he go to?
It is lower region.
How do you know that? Peter.
Yes.
Peter. So he was in prison. 1 Peter 3.
Are we correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
1 Peter 3.
Now. From verse 18. Read it from verse 18.
For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison.
He went and preached it to the spirits that were in prison.
Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved
that
by water.
That is, when these souls that are in prison, people who died, that is the region of the dead.
Amen.
What did he say? He went to do what?
Preach.
Whatever was going on there, those who were alive, his disciples and all the Jews and everybody, all we know is that he was dead. But we didn't know what was going on those 3 days that he was under the grave.
Hallelujah.
There was the ministry continued.
Amen.
To the region of the dead.
Mm.
Correct?
Amen.
Now, if you notice here, John chapter 5.
Wow. Okay, John 5.
Now, verse 28.
Okay.
and verse 29.
I read, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice.
All that we
are in the graves.
All that are we are
in the graves.
In the grave
shall hear his voice.
They will hear his voice.
And shall come forth.
And shall come forth. Mm-hmm. That means those who are in the grave, they will also hear a message. Now, because what they will hear is different from what those who are alive will hear. That is the voice of the seven thunders we are hearing about that spoke something John was about to write. He told him not to write because what pertains to the living only is what is written for us. What is for the dead does not concern us. So there is no need to write it because it is not for us.
Wow.
I believe that.
Okay.
Now, after they have had it, then the grave will open.
Amen.
Glory.
When the grave opens, then we will see them. When we see them, then we know that the day has come for us to go. That is how we will know. You know, but whether it will stay another 40 days, like it stayed, whatever it is, it will be long enough for every one of us to see. There will be rapture. We see. And that is what gives us the rapturing faith.
Wow.
So, stay here till tomorrow. Till next tomorrow. Anybody that comes and says, what John saw that didn't write that he has heard it is a lie.
Amen.
There will be nothing like that. It's just confusion.
Okay.
Yeah, Brother Abraham said this, and everybody will say this, that what is written there, if it has to do with the name, and even dear Raymond Jackson echoed this thing, the new name is written there, the day, the hour is written there. You know, that is what we all believe and we preach. But I'm sorry. I am reviewing a lot of things I have believed before in line with the scripture. And when I discover that I have millions of people that are following my teachings, I see the responsibility that I have goes beyond any parrot-like sermons. I must be able to, you know, say this from a proper perspective, proper understanding of the scripture, and be held responsible for what I teach. Not that I had somewhere and I'm repeating it. No.
God
and
has no grandchildren.
And remember that God doesn't have grandchildren. and more importantly, you know, is that I should be able to defend what I teach.
Amen.
And my only defense is the scripture.
Hallelujah.
Brother, seven thunder is not for the living.
Yo.
I hope you understand. Yes. I link that so that you will know how will we know the day. You said, will we know the day?
Yes, sir.
And this is how will we know
the exact time.
When will we go? The exact time. And that is the only time we will have rapturing faith.
Okay. Okay. So it will be wrong then for anybody to come and say, rapture will take place February 16, 2021.
It's just confusion. There's nothing to substantiate that.
Okay. Okay,
but if I know, like I say 2021, I know where you are going. I didn't say so. I'm only making calculation from scripture for the Jews, not even for you.
You said that 21 years for the gospel to return to Israel.
Yes,
you said.
I said it. I said it from calculation that I gave.
Yes,
from the scriptures. I picked my everything, the date and everything from the scripture, history. Making prophecy clear.
But are you setting a date for the rapture?
How can I set a date when I'm speaking against those certain dates?
Because the teaching came and shook a lot of people from the Bible because we've heard you condemn family radio. You condemn a lot of people that have set dates for the scripture.
Because it's wrong to set dates. But we can set the season.
But you did say that before 21 years.
Of course, because if 21 years allotted for the 2,000 years allotted for Israel to be complete, and he will not, because he said after
2 days,
2,000 years, and they'll be revived.
Wow.
And the 2,000 years should end in 21 years from now, according to the scriptures.
Wow.
They simply, and revival will not go to them until the rapture takes place.
Amen.
It simply means we should expect anything to happen before their revival takes place in 21 years' time.
Okay. Hmm. Okay. Oh, all right. I think we've come to the end of this interesting episode of Rapture Watch.
So please stop disturbing yourself about Seven Thunder.
Okay. Yes.
Stop disturbing yourself.
We want to hear final words from you because these are shaking times. You are crossroads.
And also remember that by the time that the Seven Thunders are sounding, that salvation is over.
Amen.
So he finished with the living element. He's now going
to the dead.
To the dead element, just as he did
in
his first coming. He first came to the living element. When he finished with us, then he also went to the dead element and finished with them, and then moves them. They are waiting for us to go and join them where they are now.
Amen.
And then the process is complete.
Okay, sir. This at this point of time, with this shaking, of the things we've heard so much that have been commonly believed amongst us, and with the perilousness of the times we are living in, what will be your last counsels on this episode for every true believer that wants to be at that wedding?
It is what Apostle Peter, everything I want to say, I don't want to be the authority. I want the Bible to be the authority.
Okay, we are resting on that.
Second Peter.
Okay, Second Peter chapter 1. All right, sir.
Because it's the same thing. Nobody, no other admonishment can come, from that. Now, we remember that our destiny is to be conformed to the image of Christ. Romans 8:29, correct?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
That is to be partakers of the divine nature.
Amen.
That is our, and this is what Apostle Peter said, and this is what I will also use to round up my admonishment. From verse 3.
Okay, Second Peter chapter 1 from verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature.
You see, by what?
This.
By what? By these, we might be partakers of the divine nature. Because that is our destiny.
Mm.
Okay?
Amen.
Go on.
Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
That is being born again.
Amen.
Go ahead.
And beside this,
now you see,
giving all diligence.
We are to give all diligence.
Seriously.
For God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Wow.
We are to give diligence to do what?
Add to your faith virtue.
With diligence, this your Christian faith. There are things you should build upon. The first one is what?
Virtue. And to virtue, knowledge.
Knowledge.
And to knowledge, temperance.
Temperance.
And to temperance, patience.
Patience.
And to patience, godliness.
Godliness.
And to godliness, brotherly
kindness. Brotherly
kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity.
Charity. Do you notice that in all this, he did not put to fasting?
Oh my God, my Father.
Do you notice that he did not put to prayer?
Hmm.
Go on the next verse.
For
if these things
be in you
and abound,
they make you that you shall neither be barren or fruitful
in
the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Go on.
But he that lacketh these things is blind
and
cannot see afar off and
hath
forgotten that he was purged from his old sins.
Do you know that fasting and prayer cannot make you holy?
Wow.
People don't catch that. Because you see people can do dry fasting, and sometimes in that dry fasting, when they come out, they're acquiring power to use it as witchcraft.
They curse people,
manipulate people. They even get proud. But you see the divine nature that we are supposed to be partakers of.
Hmm.
Go on.
Wherefore, the rather brethren,
that's
give
what we're
diligence
tonight.
To make your calling and election
give
sure.
Give diligence. You see, diligence again to make your calling An election. Sure. Did God call you? Go on.
For if you do these things, you shall never fall.
If you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, see something here. Why did he say you should make your calling and election sure? So that you don't assume. You are to ensure your salvation. Now, why did he say so? You go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29.
Romans 28:29 and verse 30.
Yes.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God.
Yes.
To them who are the called according to his
purpose. Those who are what?
Called.
Called. Are you called, Gabriel?
Yes, sir.
Are you called?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Yes.
For whom he did foreknow.
Now, see those he called so that you you say give diligence to make your ensure. How do you know? How do you know? There's a process. Go on.
For whom he did for
if he called him,
he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son.
That is a divine nature. Divine nature. Okay.
Amen. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Now, the next verse.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate.
If you are among those predestinated to be partaker of the divine nature,
them he also called.
You are the one you are called.
And whom he called, them he also justified.
If he call you, he will justify you.
And whom he justified, them he also glorified.
So now, are you called? Ensure that you are called. Ensure that you are justified. And ensure that you are glorified. And that glorification is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, go back to 2 Peter chapter 1 again.
Okay.
Because we have not finished that reading. Just one more verse.
Okay.
Two more verses.
Okay.
Verse 11.
For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior.
Do you know the meaning of entrance? You enter. You be a partaker.
Hallelujah.
You be part of the glory that we are expecting.
Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you once know them and be established in the present truth.
In the present truth. The present truth is the righteousness of the Lord. Is the dressing of the bride.
Amen.
That is my passing word.
Okay. Give diligence to make your calling
and election.
Relationship.
Sure.
Much thanks to our beloved pastor.
Diligence.
This episode is for me, more for me than any other person, because I've learned so much on this particular topic today. And we hope you've been blessed by this broadcast, this episode of Rapture Watch. Keep watching the Bride TV, and till we meet again, God bless you.